Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. Not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the Fort from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life, in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 5531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic: can the government force you to get a coronavirus vaccine? Can the government force you to get a coronavirus vaccine? With the resurgence of coronavirus infections around the globe, scientists search for a scientific solution to combat COVID-19. Many are very skeptical about the safety, suspect alternative motives, and say they will not receive the vaccine. So, what is the problem? Trust, accountability, motives from vaccine side effects. A long time ago, we had this epidemic called the swine flu. So I'm going to cut right to the chase here. What happened with a mass swine flu vaccination program in the U.S. took place in 1976. And it caused far more deaths than the disease it was designed to combat. And the Health Protection Agency watchdog had asked doctors to look out for cases of GBS when the vaccinations began. So they were looking out for things to go wrong. It's just some of the things that add to the skepticism about vaccines, period. Because you got the same people making COVID-19, same, you know, industry. So you have mercury. They had to say, further evidence suggesting autism is a side effect of vaccines, including other pervasive developmental disorders. Now, we had different data on that. Some people saying it wasn't. Some people saying it was. Now, it's the scientific community here, and that's not rocket science to look at how mercury, what is mercury, and the impact it has on the body. That's relatively known to the scientific community. So for one study to come up saying that no problem, and the other study to come up saying problem, that's a serious problem right there. You know, so who's watching the, you know, these guys, you know, because, you know, that's like having, you know, you don't want to have the police policing themselves. You don't want to have these vaccine makers policing or reporting to themselves. Not a good idea. A lot of money in that. That's why. Aluminum is an additive, right? They call it an adjuvant. Right? It's in a lot of vaccines. Some vaccines. They said it's would be an obvious cause of concern, yet seems to go unnoticed as far as possibility of creating adverse events from a vaccine, right? The most common adjuvant is aluminum, which is a known neurotoxin. That's how you operate. You function through your nervous system, right? Sending signals and, you know, how to move and all that kind of stuff, right? There are dozens of studies that have implicated aluminum in the development of nervous system and brain disorders such as Alzheimer's disease. Okay? As I said previously, there are opinions that are contrary for mercury and aluminum, which is kind of like, that's just a bigger red flag. What kind of science could they be using to come up with different outcomes regarding known toxins? It makes no sense. Let me see. This is from Are Vaccines Safe? Vaccines and autism. Despite all the reporting to the contrary, vaccines have been definitely linked to autism. In 1986, a class action lawsuit against vaccine manufacturers by hundreds of parents whose children experienced regressive autism following vaccination resulted in legislation that absolved vaccine makers from liability and created a program which pays compensation for an injury. Now, that's some deep stuff right there, right? Because now I'm a vaccine maker. I can put something out there that hurts you, but, it, you know, you can't sue me. You got to go through this compensation for injury program. As a class action case wound its way through the system, most of those parents' claims were rejected until Hannah Poling. Her case was championed by her father, John Poling, MD, PhD, a neurologist and professor at the Medical College of Georgia. That goes to who can you trust, right? This is the problem here that people are going to be having with this COVID-19 virus, vaccine. So according to the 2011 article, Unanswered Questions from the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, a review of compensated cases of vaccine-induced brain injury. And this is just your normal vaccines I'm talking about right now. I haven't even got to COVID-19. So they said that in the PACE Environment Law Review, in order to file a claim of injury in the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, parents of injured children are pressured to blame any autism spectrum brain injuries on a non-autism cause. Who can you trust? See, accountability. This is a problem. Typical symptoms of autism, such as brain swelling, right, and seizures, have been compensated for as long as parents define them as side effects of the vaccine rather than calling them symptoms of regressive autism caused by the vaccine. Manipulation, right? Today, 1 in 68 children has autism, according to the CDC. It's a problem. So we have history. Historically, we have had problems with our vaccine makers. This is the reason why I'm reading this. And they have not, maneuvered their way out of being accountable for what they have been sued, I think. They have been taken to court. But for some reason, they're not able to sue these guys because they got the good lawyers, I guess, and the good money to pay, fat in people's pockets and get what they want. And I don't understand that, because don't those people have children? Like, do they care? Anyway. Another incident from vaccines, our vaccine safe. Dr. Hooker, a PhD scientist, worked with two members of Congress to craft a letter to the CDC that recently resulted in his obtaining long-awaited data from the CDC, the significance of which is historic, they said. According to Hooker, the data on over 400,000 infants born between 1991 and 1997, which was analyzed by the CDC epidemiologist Thomas Verstraetien, MD, proves unequivocally that in 2000, CDC officials were informed internally of the high risk of autism, non-organic sleep disorder, and speech disorder associated with thimerosal exposure. Thimerosal is a form of mercury that they use in vaccines. I think it's to prolong the shelf life or to enhance the efficiency of the vaccine, something like that. So, see, that kind of stuff right there makes people, again, that's another red flag, right? Huge one, because basically people just not doing their job. See, even the CDC, they said, here we go again, accountability, trust. Right, we have problems with that, And just imagine if you had a car, you took it to a shop, they put brakes on your car, and you drive two blocks and your brakes fail. You get on the expressway, your brakes fail after you drive for about 15 minutes on the expressway. Your brakes fail, or they start acting erratically and things like that. That's not a good look. So you know people need to do what they say they're doing. They need to provide a service that's functional and it's safe. And that's what we're talking about. This is part of the reason why people are skeptical. Actually, it's worse than this. But I can understand it just based on this historical evidence that we have concerning vaccines. And then you have the legislative body, right? These people are supposed to work. Well, you know what? they work for, I guess, whoever pays them, but they're supposed to work for you. This is, you know, this is supposed to be democracy. You vote. These people are supposed to represent you in government, right? So anyway, they pass a law saying you can't sue these guys. These guys, hey, they're untouchable. You can't sue them. So they said when the results of the Verstraetian study was first reported outside the CDC in 2005, there was no evidence that anyone but Dr. Verstraetian within the CDC had known of the very high 7.6 elevated relative risk of autism from exposure to thermosol during infancy. But now clear evidence exists. So, come on. This is ridiculous, you know. A newly acquired abstract from 1999 entitled Increased Risk of Development of Neurological Impairment After High Exposure to Thermosol Containing Vaccine in the First Month of Life. Now, it's my understanding that an infant can't even, what happens, they can't even develop antibodies through vaccines for 3 to 6 months of their life. So those shots that they get are, you know, questionable, right? This goes on, you know, there's more to that, but I'm not going to read any more. I'm going on with the show. I mean, not that that's not part of the show, but I'm just saying that's probably part of the reason why these people don't trust. They get more information. You have people on YouTube and the internet with some very, very serious accusations about, you know, what's happening. So, like, as I said, their opinions contrary, but as I just read to you, you know, if you just read about what aluminum is and what mercury is, you're not going to take a, you know, that's like saying a little bit of poison is not going to hurt you. And why use the poison at all? Why use something that's going to harm somebody and something that you say is going to help somebody? Makes no sense. So it's not even so much the vaccine with some of these things. It's the things that they put in the vaccine that make it so very, very, very dangerous. Right? So the young and the old people, in fact, the coronavirus vaccine, who have a weak or compromised immune system, people who are young, right, infants, like I said, their immune system is not developed yet until 3 months, maybe 6 months, right? That's why the mother's milk provides that support for infants. But as you get older, I don't know if it's late 50s, 60, definitely 60 and over, your immune system is weakening. The older you get, your immune system is going to get weaker. So I think the elderly, I don't know if that started at 60 or 50 something, I don't know, but definitely 60. I know definitely 60. Your immune, they are at high risk because their immune system is weaker. Conspiracy theorists allege that big pharma, interest groups, Bill Gates stand to make a lot of money from the pan vaccination. Now, that's a show in and of itself, and I don't quite, I'm just hearing so many things about that, talking about nanotechnology, DNA changes in the body, changing your DNA, and all kinds of stuff, and 5G, and just, you know, it's very complex. I'm not going to get into that. But just know that this thing gets to be huge in terms of why people don't trust it. Laws were passed to protect the vaccine makers, as I said, from lawsuits, which is from when their vaccines cause injury or death. That's a red flag. You know what I'm saying? How many people would take a child for a vaccination knowing if it said your child may be injured by this? We can't guarantee that it will not hurt your child. How many would you take them there? And they say, well, 10% of the children that get vaccinated either become ill, catch the disease, or die. How many people would take your child to get that vaccination? So, you know, because I hear even the the people who administer the vaccination, you can't sue them either, which is ridiculous. Because if you administer a vaccination to a child, you're telling the parent that that it's safe. And you're a doctor, that's what they're trusting you. So trust is out the window. So accountability and trust, it seems, it's just those things are just gone. I heard some very disturbing allegations that sound right out of a scientific horror movie. And that's going back to what I was saying. I'm just calling them conspiracy theorists. I'm not saying that they're right. I'm not saying that they're wrong. They sound like they know what they're talking about. I don't know a lot about nanotechnology or how 5G interacts with that or anything. I don't know. But I know one thing. All of this needs to be brought to the table. And liars need to be weeded out. The weeds they are. We don't need nobody trying to lie. If you're afraid, you shouldn't be involved in this. It might threaten your life for you to lie or pay you to lie. You need to not be at the table because the consequences need to be serious for a person that does that. Historically, vaccines have been made available during epidemics. And people have been harmed. So it is not far-fetched and not a far-fetched idea to weaponize a vaccine to make to take lives and minimize births under the cloud of eradicating a pandemic or saving lives. That's not a far-fetched idea. And we have people who allege that being something. I've heard so many things. It's so scary. It makes you scared to just take the any vaccine, to tell you the truth. Because these guys are not testing these vaccines the proper way, they say. And I read something else that said they don't have to test it that way. It's like, come on. Anyway. People blindly trust that taking their children and themselves to receive immunizations will not harm them. Blind trust. Just like you go, boys, you got blind trust. You're just hoping these guys know what they're doing. When you get in your car, both brakes are going to stop and that your engine's not going to blow up and your car blow up in flames or anything like that, right? We have this blind trust. We buy food from the supermarket. It's not food that we've personally grown or somebody that we care, that cares about us, has personally grown. It's food that's been produced by complete strangers. We trust that the food is going to be healthy and that we're not going to die from it. But we're definitely going to die from it. But we trust that it won't kill us right away, right? So, anyway, that's blind trust. We got that kind of thing going on here. So, let's focus on accountability, trust, and safety. Because that is a problem. It's historically, it's been a problem with the vaccine makers. So let's not pretend that this is some kind of situation that's just been all roses. So from health, researchers rushed to test coronavirus vaccine in people without knowing how well it works in animals. So they... What they did is they jumped the gun, right? That's like, what is that like? That's like I'm making a gun, but I never test it out on a, wherever I make my gun, I never test it out, see how it works. What I do is I just give it to the soldiers. I'm going to give it to these soldiers, see how it works, Let me know how it works. It might fire, it might not, might shoot you. We don't know. Let me know what happens, so that kind of thing. Mark Feinberg, president and CEO of the International AIDS Vaccine Initiative. This guy says, as the race to test experimental coronavirus vaccine, researchers aren't waiting to see how well it prevents infection in animals before trying it on people, breaking from the usual protocol, right? The traditional vaccine timeline is, check this out, 15 to 20 years. That would not be acceptable here. So, right? So, this vaccine for the coronavirus is, I guess they're trying to bring this out within a couple of months. Anyway, scientists at the National Institute of Health are working on non-clinical research on parallel. Meanwhile, the clinical trial started recruiting healthy participants in this first week of March. I've heard somebody suggested that they try this vaccine out in Africa. Africans are very upset about that. I don't know if they are doing it or not. I think somebody might have told me that somebody in Africa is allowing them to test them with this vaccine. Anyway, regulators require that a manufacturer show a product is safe before it goes into people. Here we have vaccine makers in the animal trials before trying it in people and going right to the people trials. That's a red flag, y'all. And it's red flags all over this vaccine topic, manufacturer and administration. It seems like it's the whole vaccine thing is one big red flag. And I didn't know it was this bad, you know, but if half of the stuff that they're saying is true, we got a serious problem. Anyway, first week of March. Now they're recruiting healthy participants to try out a coronavirus vaccine. How did they get a vaccine that fast? That's what I want to know. Somebody help me out with that. Is science that we that far advanced? When the man said take 15 to 20 years, regulators require that the manufacturer show the product is safe before you put it in a human. The way they do that. To the animal trials. They said, the hell with that. Poor little animals. Mm. Anyway, they said, while it isn't enshrined in law, another red flag, researchers almost always check that a new concoction is effective in lab animals. What do you mean it's not enshrined in law? What is up with the lawmakers? Or do the lawmakers not have children? Or do they not have lives themselves? Are they not human beings? What kind of lawmakers do we have here? You pass a law prohibiting lawsuits against the vaccine makers, right? But you don't pass a law saying you got to make sure that the concoction is effective in lab animals before you put it in a human being. That. I hope y'all following me here, because the problem, the plot is thickening, because now we have people in government in cahoots with the so-called pharmaceutical industry who make vaccines, and anyone who has a stake, interest, stock in the production and the administration of vaccines. And that's how they carries over to Mr. Gates, if they say he has a large interest in his whole thing about the vaccine production. I don't know if he does or not, but I know one thing. I smell a rat. This seems morally questionable. Seems morally questionable, really, because there could potentially be unknown hazards, and it's unclear how effective this particular formulation is it. Well, we're on the route with that with the coronavirus. We don't know what these guys or these trial people are going to come up with coronavirus. Come up looking, you know, with some, what's that show, The Walking Dead, come out like that? We don't know, right? We don't know if they've been had children. We don't know if they will want to have children. We don't know how this is going to impact on them, right? So, because we didn't do it in no trial test with the animals. And I'm not saying that's cool, because I know animal rights people would say that's not cool. And, it's not. I mean, animals shouldn't have to suffer like that. Hopefully we can find a way of eradicating disease without animals suffering, giving an animal a disease. But anyway, Jonathan Kimmelman, director of McGill University's Biomedical Ethics Unit, right? In an email said, yet ethics aren't so sure that the eventual benefits of rushing this unproven vaccine into clinical trials will outweigh the risks. Okay? The benefits outweigh the risks. All right? That's some straight street thinking right there. I'm selling drugs. I'm trying to come up. If I can make it, I can make it 200 grand. I might be able to stop, send myself to college, buy a couple of properties, become a landlord. I can maybe do something else, or I can just make enough money, just get rich off selling these drugs. Meanwhile, I'm risking going to jail for the rest of my life, getting my head blown off, or just becoming a quadriplegic because somebody shot my spine off. You understand what I'm saying? Not to mention taking the community down, taking these people down, helping these people shoot themselves in the head in the community. As we know, the destruction of drugs in the community. So the benefit to that guy is, validates the means, because I'm a millionaire. You know what I'm saying? So the benefit here is we eradicated the disease. Sure, we killed some people in the process, but we eradicated the disease, or almost, right? Outbreaks and national emergencies often create pressure to suspend the rights. Those rights, I don't know if y'all know about your rights. You got this thing called the Constitution here. You got certain rights, unalienable rights, which we're going to get to, right? Outbreaks and national emergencies. Now, what we got is what they call a pandemic, right? And we got a resurgence, right? Probably because we didn't handle it right in the first place, right? Outbreaks and national emergencies often create pressure to suspend rights. So your rights can be suspended, standards and or moral values of conduct. So there's the hell with the morals and the ethics and your rights, right? Often our decision to do so, they said, seems unwise in retrospect. Looking back, they're saying that the decision to suspend the rights of citizens, right, standards, right, for developing vaccines like they did doing with the coronavirus, right? Now they skip the animal trials, going right to the folks, right? Seems unwise in retrospect, looking back, all right? But I thought we were supposed to learn from the past. Those who do not learn from their past are doomed to repeat it. So we're about to repeat something, or risk repeating something that apparently, it's not even a we in it, really, because we didn't make this decision. I don't know anybody that made this decision, but what is about to happen is about to do the same thing that happened before. The same thing that happened before, jumping the gun and making unwise decisions again. We're doing it again from the AAMC, Association of American Medical Colleges. Right? They said researchers on labs say it's possible to get a novel coronavirus vaccine ready for the public within 12 to 24 months. Them boys quit. It's almost like they was working on this many years before now. From the start of the research, as federal officials on Holtez said, that's an optimistic scenario. These steps are dedicated to federal regulations that address the inherent risk of vaccines. So vaccines have an inherent risk already. We're talking about a coronavirus that nobody want to catch right now. Anybody running around with these masks, watching how they get close to people and all kinds of stuff like that, right? So we got something, we people living in fear, apprehension, and things like that, right? Unlike treatments for disease victims, vaccines are administered to healthy people to stave off illness if they get exposed to the virus, right? So nobody's trying to catch nothing. Nobody want to catch this disease by or want to be one of the few, the collateral damage of the people that catch this here virus. Nobody want to be that. If it's 1%, nobody wants to be that one out of that 100 or that one out of that 1,000. Nobody wants to be that one or amongst that 1%. Vaccines typically provide the protection by giving people a bit of the virus to trigger an immune response. Types of vaccines that labs are working on, right? According to the Center for Disease, again, and I don't know how much we can trust these guys, right? Are the actuated, which used a weakened form of the virus, and the inactivated, which used a killed version of the virus. However, some of the efforts rely on infusing messenger RNA molecules to produce a protein that sets off a cellular process that activates an immune response. Now you start. Now we seem like we're getting into the RNA. That's like DNA, right? Sounds like we're getting into some mad scientist thing. That goes to one of the conspiracies that I mentioned. I didn't talk about exactly who said it, nothing like that, because I don't want to have this whole show about a conspiracy. What specifically? Just know that there are conspiracies that contribute to why people are very apprehensive about taking a coronavirus vaccine. Right? From vaccine.gov. The future of vaccines. It said, did you know the scientists are still working to create new types of vaccines? Here are two examples. DNA vaccines are easy and inexpensive to make. Right? I don't know if y'all get that. That's capitalism right there, right? And they produce strong long-term immunity. Recombinant vector vaccines, platform-based vaccines act like a natural infection, so they're especially good at teaching the immune system how to fight germs, all right? So that's just some for your information kind of stuff, right? Rutgers fact check. The DNA in DNA vaccine does not integrate into the cell nucleus, so this isn't genetic modification. Speaking to the conspiracy allegations that they're going to genetically modify you to fight off disease. I'm going to give you an example. They genetically modify corn to produce its own insecticide, right? And you eat the corn. So they're saying that this hey, they got this coronavirus. They're using this RNA DNA kind of like platform, and it's going to change your DNA. We will be HMO type folks. They're saying, but this approach is incredibly promising for COVID-19 because it can be scaled up very quickly and is very versatile. It is easily to synthetically produce DNA sequences that match the required bits of viral genetic code. That sounds like that's coming. Cheaper, make more money. You can cheaper, charge more for it. Or cheaper, maybe sell more. I don't know. Anyway, they said, back to the original story, they said with a polio vaccine used, an inactivated virus, right, that the killed one, right, and was licensed for the public use hours after clinical trial results were announced in 1955. Some lots from the production arm labs, Cutter Laboratories, contained the live virus, leading to tragic results. Cutter batches were pulled from the market while vaccines from other labs continued to be safely administered. See, that's accountability, right? Trust. Out the window, historically. So that's not me saying this. That's what the information is saying. Anyway, guess tragic results was simply collateral damage en route to eradicating a public menace. That does not help people trust that their safety is the primary concern. What is wrong with these folks? Why would you put a live virus out? Why would you put a live virus in anybody like that? Reducing the risk. The federal oversight process typically works in through these phases. Animal trials, which I mentioned to you, right, which they skipped with the coronavirus. That's very important. If you don't remember none of this, just remember they already skipped the phase with the coronavirus. No animal trials, right? Those lab tests, the vaccine on small animals, usually mice. We like to kill them when we see them for some reason. I get it, though. I do it myself. To see if it triggers an immune response and side effects. So, excuse me. You try it on the mice first, right? You can get the side effects. Side effect, death. Oh, no, we can't use this. Right? Side effects, paralysis. Oh, no, can't do. Weakened heart, brain swelling. Right? The disease itself. Right? So they skipped all of that, went right to people. When people volunteered for that, that's crazy. Clinical trial, that's what they got now with the COVID trials. If those tests show that the vaccine safety produces the intended immune response, the product moves to human clinical trials, as explained by the CDC and the FDA. So the question becomes, how come they're skipping this and going right to folks? So instead of using mice, they're using people. That's what's happening. So phase one involves a small group. Phase two, expanding small group is typically several dozen volunteers, right? Test safety and various doses and see if they produce immune responses. All right, phase two, expanding to more typically hundreds of people who have characteristics such as age and physical health similar to those for whom the new vaccine is intended. So I guess as if it's something affecting the elderly, you know, they would try it on an elderly population or youth population. The objective is to determine safety and immune response in a more diverse set of subjects. Phase three. Giving the vaccine to thousands of people to provide data about safety effectiveness. So, that's after the animal trials. They think from that. If I'm assuming that they don't see anything that's going to harm people, it goes well with the animals. Okay, this mouse is normal. You know, he ain't twitching, his eyes ain't blinking uncontrollably. He didn't die from coronavirus. Both his lungs is working, kidneys is fine, you know, things like that. So I'm assuming that they move forward on the human subjects, human guinea pigs, after the mice survive that process. If the mice don't survive, no need to go to the human. You got to get a test group of mice repeatedly that survive that before you even think about moving to a human group. Anyway, through these processes, researchers use control groups that do not receive the vaccine, right? And they make adjustments in delivery method, dose, and frequency based on the results. I think that's a placebo group, I think. At each stage, the FDA says if data raise significant concerns about either safety or effectiveness, the agency might request more information or another round of studies. Or halt the studies, right? All that has to happen is one significant harmful side effect, and you have to start over. Completion of three phases, companies apply to the FDA for a license to market and publicly administer the vaccine. Some vaccines undergo a four phase to study effects while the vaccine is being publicly administered. So that sounds like the fourth phase is the actual administration of the vaccine, and we're going to see how, you know, people respond to it. A process that can involve thousands of people over several years. Right. So to me, that all sounds like one big laboratory experiment. From the WHO, that's the World Health Organization, first. No vaccine is 100% effective. To make vaccines safer than the disease, the bacteria or virus is killed or weakened, right? Attenuated, right? For reasons related to the individual, not all vaccinated persons develop immunity, right? So the question he'd be asking, like, can the government force you to get this vaccine? Well, they said not all vaccines are 100% effective. Not all vaccines persons develop immunity. Most routine childhood vaccines are effective for 85 to 95% of the patients. So, what about that 5% and what's that 15%? Anyway, as far as somebody making you do something and you asking that question, you in the United States of America, so-called democracy of the United States of America or republic or whatever, the fact that we ask the question is indicative of our perceived powerlessness, fear, and separation from government. I watched a video on YouTube where a guy was saying that the government can force you, take you to a place where the vaccine is being administered and have the needle plunged into your arm. I saw it. The destruction and homicide rate is about to increase dramatically. This is the worst time to attempt to physically force or coerce through disenfranchisement a person to take a vaccine. Force will definitely be met with force in this present day powder keg. It makes no sense unless total chaos is a part of the objective. That would support the conspiracy theory on COVID-19 being a Trojan horse to something more sinister. Maybe more people would welcome the vaccine that has been proven to be safe. Where is the double-blinded placebo testing? If Big Pharma had a reputation for being trustworthy, maybe, just maybe, more people would be willing to take the vaccine, providing and proving that it is safe and made under safe conditions. Not you got something in there that's some crazy something in there that's going to cause somebody to have some kind of problems later on. Oh, you won't die from corona, but your kidneys will fail 50 years from now because you took this vaccine. I'm not saying that's happened or not. I'm just saying you don't want that. All right? Some will never take it. I'm sure people would love to know that this vaccine isn't a part of someone's diabolical plan to depopulate the earth or someone's financial scheme to profit from vaccinating 7 billion people or so. Is that asking too much? There is a lot of controversy around the people involved with this coronavirus, the vaccine, and the information that's being provided. Manipulating the law regarding the vaccine safety and human rights does not make vaccines safe. The history of vaccines says, some of the misinformation regarding vaccines includes an argument that vaccines have not been tested against the saline placebo in a double-blinded random clinical trial. This misinformation is aimed at confusing the wealth of evidence regarding the safety and effectiveness of immunizations. Okay? See, we have this duality going on in the scientific community with vaccines. And as far as those inalienable rights, I don't know if y'all know about the Constitution, but you know, they got a little part in there to talk about your And alienable rights are what's said to be those rights that could not be surrendered by citizen to the sovereign. Y'all heard that? Inalienable rights are those rights that could not be surrendered by citizens to the sovereign. Such rights were thought to be natural rights independent of positive law contract that tried to legally alienate such a right would be inherently invalid. Inalienable rights include rights to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, right? Inalienable means unable to be taken away. Well, as far as those rights go, the government protects those rights, and the government apparently takes those rights away. The level of distrust and corruption worldwide will only force us into internal conflict. To quote, I don't know who made this up, power corrupts absolutely, from Newsweek. Can the government force you to get a coronavirus vaccine? State and federal governments can't force people to receive a new coronavirus vaccine against their will, experts said. But lawmakers may be able to create a mandate that imposes consequences, right? They're going to disenfranchise you, right, for not being vaccinated. Vaccine research for the new coronavirus is moving forward at an unprecedented rate, and experts champion high rates of immunity in a population as a solution to stopping a virus from spreading. All right, and that's the validation for the skipping the animal trials and moving along, right? We're going to beat this thing. We got something here, right? It's possible Congress could have the power to mandate a vaccine under the Commerce Clause since the virus travels across state borders, constitutional law expert told Newsweek. The question is whether that power actually includes the power to require vaccines and the question is, are these vaccines proven to be safe? Because safety comes first. What the hell is wrong with these folks? It's almost like, you know, we got this plan, not us, somebody, and we moving forward with this plan. Safety, they saying safety out the window, as I just told you. But they created the conditions to negate your rights and safety and ethics, right? We got what we call a pandemic, and we have a resurgence, and we got people dying. Oh, we got to do something quick. If the federal government did not want to pursue mandating vaccines, the more realistic scenario, they say, is to tie it to federal fundings or tax individuals who refuse to vaccinate. So are you going to tax some dude off the street, living on the street, somebody on welfare, somebody who's just barely making it? Anyway, the Supreme Court upheld the individual mandate in the Affordable Care Act, signing to Wilkler, the tax may be permissible. You're going to tax somebody for not getting a shot? They got to pay? What happened to the thing about it being contagious and stuff like that? Now, that's just another money scheme. You understand what I'm saying? Follow the dollar. Because so far, I could see where money could be at the root of this whole thing. Coronavirus or not, any of these vaccines. The picture taken on, we need to go there. The federal government could also leave the decision up to the states. This is the tricky part, y'all. In 1905, a case called J. Jacobson versus Massachusetts. A citizen argued four smallpox inoculations infringed on his personal liberty, right? The Supreme Court upheld the Cambridge Board of Health authority to require the vaccination under the 10th Amendment that grants state police powers. They said it's still a perfectly good law, Lawrence Tribe, a Carl M. Loeb University professor at Harvard Law School, told Newsweek. The answer to whether states could mandate vaccinations, he said, was a clear yes. Can the state mandate that you get a vaccination? This guy says yes. It's a clear yes. Sylvia Law, a law professor at New York University, called it easy for states to require vaccinations and pointed out that they've already done so in a number of continents. Students are often required to be vaccinated to attend school, right? And in the case of COVID-19, she said, they think they have a responsible basis for doing so. Wilker said he wasn't convinced that the state's power by itself would be enough to allow a vaccination mandate. To answer that question, he said, officials would have to review each state's laws in regard to public health emergencies, right? Officials have confirmed more than 1.6 million cases of new coronaviruses in America, and nearly 100,000 people have died as of this article, right? Inoculations are known to help establish herd community, they say. Herd community, right? A concept where most of the population's immunity protects those who aren't. So if most of the people get this vaccine, it'll protect everybody. And officials claim high immunity rates are key to safety. Resuming gathering in large numbers and once again moving about freely. So playing to your desire to have some normalcy in your life, right? Not everyone can be vaccinated safely, they said, through. Though, law said if states impose a mandate, they should include a health exception for those who could be put at risk. All 50 states already have grant exceptions for medical reasons, according to the National Conference of State Legislators, and 45 have religious exemptions, right? They said, in the case of the new coronavirus vaccination, disputing the mandate on a religious basis would be difficult because the danger to the public health is likely to trump any claim to special treatment. So your religious reason out the window, right? That's going to be a problem. An argument that the mandate violated the 14th Amendment would have a slightly better chance against the federal mandate than the state mandate. Isn't religious freedom of religion part of the Constitution? But he also said that he wasn't confident a person would be successful in either instance. Okay? That's why I say the violence is going to come in, especially with the religious people. You're not going to some people are not going to stand for that at all. Either way you think, the odds are, if we came to the point politically where the federal government began mandating that people be vaccinated against COVID-19, it's almost certain there would be some appropriate federal statute or regulation that would back it up. Yeah, because all you got to do is write it, right? Going on forward to the AMA Journal of Ethics, right? The 14th Amendment asserts that no state shall make or enforce any law abridging the privileges or immunities of a citizen of the United States or deprive any person life, liberty, or property without due process of law, right? The Supreme Court recognizes the 14th Amendment guarantee of substantive due process that protects U.S. citizens against arbitrary legislative actions. This constitutional guarantee requires the legislation not be unreasonable, arbitrary, that's like you just did it, or capricious, which is almost like, you know, same thing, almost similar to arbitrary, and that it have a substantial relation to the legislative objective. So, I ask you, is it unreasonable to provide a vaccine that is not proven to be safe as a vaccine, right? Is it unreasonable to provide a vaccine that is not proven to be safe as a safe vaccine? Is it unreasonable to trick, ask, or force people to take it? In fact, it is another form of tyranny. Again, is it too much to demand that the vaccine be safe, proven to be safe? I suspect it is expected that someone will become ill and someone will die, and that is the price they are willing to pay with the lives of others. Continuing from the article, essentially, though this provision demands only minimum scrutiny or rational review of the enacted legislation, right? The law need only be rationally related to a legitimate government purpose to be declared constitutional. Further, so they just write it in, basically. We just write the law. Further, the Supreme Court has recognized each state's power, police power, which gives the state authority to enact health laws of every description, including quarantine, vaccination laws to protect the citizen. In 1905, the Supreme Court addressed mandatory vaccines in regard to smallpox with Jacobson in Massachusetts, right? The court found it immaterial that a portion of the medical community thought that the vaccination worthless or even injurious. So they said, the hell, but I don't care what y'all think. So, again, they said, something is wrong. They said the state may require vaccination if the Board of Health deems it necessary for public health and safety. Right? But they ignored. They found it. How's it immaterial? Just because you say so? A portion of the medical community that thought the vaccination worthless or even injurious. They ignored that. How is that possible? Because probably going to experience that with this coronavirus. Because these guys already just jumped the gun. No animal trials. Anyway, in this case, the Jacobson court's ruling has stood, right? All right, so this ruling prevailed despite occasional injurious results from vaccinations and the impossibility of determining whether the particular person can be safely vaccinated. This is very, very important here. The ruling, right? Stay. You got to get vaccinated, right? Despite occasional injurious results from vaccination. And that's just a light way of putting it because we don't know what happened. Injurious could be death. Injurious could be a permanent disability. We don't know exactly what they're saying. That's putting it lightly. From vaccinations and the impossibility of determining whether a particular person can be safely. So why is it mandatory? Why would you make it mandatory? Because if you can't guarantee somebody's safety, right, and you know that it's not going to help everybody and it's going to hurt some people, how the hell can you make that mandatory? That's like rolling the dice. That's a voluntary thing. That should only be a voluntary thing because it's going to hurt. You already know it's going to hurt some people. We don't know who it's going to hurt. But take your shot, take your chance on it. Kid might die, kid might be crippled, your kid might come up with the disease. Kid might be allergic to to something we put in it. Anyway, the only exception to mandatory vaccination is an offer of apparent reasonably certain proof to the state's Board of Health that the vaccination would seriously impair health or probably cause death. Now, let me see. How is the average Joe going to produce that? When they said they can't even determine whether a person can be safely vaccinated. So how the only exception, this is double talk. This is what I call double talk. The only exception to a mandatory vaccination is an offer of apparent or reasonably certain proof. Because they're asking you to give proof that it'll hurt you when they said they can't even prove that who it's going to hurt. So in order for you to prove that it's going to hurt you, when you have to take it to be hurt by it, this is crazy. This is madness. This was what I'm saying about, you know, government and trust and accountability. This is not a law that's written by somebody you can trust. You know, because if you are fearful of being injured, you know, that should be enough. Or guarantee that a particular person can be safely vaccinated. How are you going to mandate that? Anyway, consequently, the student does not have a valid argument against the mandatory vaccination. So, right, we talked about that, right? If he does not have a 14th Amendment liberty or due process argument because the vaccination is for the health and welfare of the state, lastly, even Joseph and had a religious objection, it would most likely be dismissed because a compelling state interest may abridge religious freedom. So you have these things until they take it away. I don't understand that. So the state has the right to suggest, ask, and force a person to place his life at risk with an unproven vaccination. And I hear that that is just about most vaccinations. Not because I'm hearing that they really haven't taken these vaccinations through the test that they were supposed to take them through. The coronavirus vaccine development has been accelerated. Even those who desire to take the vaccine are at risk of being harmed. The president, all of his supporters, all government people in support of the vaccine, Bill and Melinda Gates, Big Pharma, who make it and distribute it, doctors and advocates of the vaccine need to take the vaccine first. The USA is sounding more like a dictatorship. If this government actually worked for the people, they would be in the unemployment line just on the vaccine issue. And the vaccine makers would be shut down. Oh, we have a caller. I'm sorry, caller. Hello, welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, back to what you were saying about being tested, the drug being tested on people. I think there's going to be a population that volunteers for that.
Well, they already have, I guess. They already have some. You mean a part of the population after the trial, the clinical, the people clinical trials, right?
Okay.
Yeah, because they have clinical trials. They're starting that. They're getting people for that now.
Right.
So you're saying after that? After that, there's going to be people who jump to get that shot, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
A couple of months ago, this fellow made a joke about the COVID, and maybe everybody ought to use bleach to, rid themselves of the COVID or, you know, protect themselves against the COVID and so forth like that.
Mm-hmm.
And a certain population jumped on that. You know what I mean? And they was bleaching themselves up. You know, matter of fact, they just made a arrest, like I think at the beginning of July, the end of June or something like that, on some people that were going to mass produce some bleach type medication for the COVID. And they arrested these people, and they had like industrial amounts of, you know, bleach getting ready to distribute, you know? So I think, I think they're going to be stepping up without any argument, you know?
Right. I suspect some people are going to be against this. And you may, and I suspect people are going to be, you know, take it. And the point is not whether people volunteer for it or not. And as much as you should have as much information as possible before you volunteer for any vaccine, from the information I've been reading, to help with the coronavirus vaccine, the normal vaccines, you need to read about that and when they give a vaccine to your child, especially like infants, you know. Because the some doctors are saying that a child that didn't even have the ability to defend, you know, their immune system is weak. It's not building up antibodies until 3 months, some say 6 months. So it's the breast milk from the mother that helps the immune system of the infant. And which 3 months, a child and had a whole bunch of shots. You get one before you leave the hospital. Then you got to come back, get another one. It's, why are you giving this child these vaccines if their bodies aren't really developed enough to really build up antibodies and stuff like that? Who, what genius or monster suggested that? Right, that's what I'm saying. That's why I say trust and accountability is an issue here. You understand what I'm saying? But like you said, some people are going to blindly follow these people and not even on the information. You know, because based on what I'm reading, which I had a show on our vaccine, say everyone should be, especially if you have children, you should be asking lots of questions about what's in here, reading, and they can't. And then they're already saying they can't guarantee that your child won't be injured by the vaccine. So what do you mean make somebody take something like that? How you going to tell somebody, you know, take this here? I don't know if your kid, I don't know if it'll kill your kid or not. Your kid might stop your kid from getting the disease, might give your kid the disease, might kill him. I don't know. But here it go, right here. How you going to tell somebody, oh, you got to take that? That's wrong. I'm talking about that for all the vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a completely voluntary thing to do. If since you can't guarantee something, you know what I mean? Like, here's a glass of water. It's not going to kill you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And well, here they have a medical procedure that they're saying might not hurt you. And I get that. But you don't get to force people to do that. Now they come up with coronavirus. They're skipping all kinds. They're jumping through all kinds of hoops to get this coronavirus thing up. They skipped the animal trials. So the mice, they got off. You know what I'm saying? If you're the mouse and under this with the coronavirus, whew, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as somebody said, once said, we want to know what's going on. Follow the money trail. Who's staying to make money from doing all of this? I'm in agreement with that, following that money trail. Because how you gonna just skip? You're gonna skip the process on which you're supposed to, you know, take. You know, so I smell a rat. You know, I don't care what you know. Nobody says that. Is it Bill Gates? Because I say he's not. They say he's a philanthropist. Another guy said, yeah, he's spending millions to make billions. You know, so I don't know. That's a whole nother show. Just me trying to figure out what Bill Gates is doing, because I just find it a little odd anyway that the computer guy is at the head of the vaccination thing. That's odd to me. You know what I'm saying? Why is he so interested in people getting vaccinated? That's like, why don't he worry about getting those viruses off them computers? Make a computer that can't get a virus. You know what I'm saying? What's wrong with him? So, you know, that kind of thing. So, and you know, they're saying they made laws. They made laws regardless of the evidence. They don't care. Lawmakers must be getting paid because who they representing? We ain't make those laws. You know what I'm saying? The average Joe don't even probably know about the laws because I didn't know. I had to research to find out about some of the stuff that's going on. But you're not going to hold somebody responsible for making something that may be harmful to you, your child, but you can't sue them. You got to go through this other source. You know what I'm saying? Yet somebody slip on your curb outside your house. They can't go to no other. They're not going to no other source, right? You didn't make the curb. You didn't make the snow. You didn't make the ice. You didn't. You know what I'm saying? You don't cause the tree to come up and make the curb come up. They gonna sue you, right? Right? And you're not even doing it on purpose. You understand what I'm saying? But yet the vaccine makers you're not allowed to sue them. Are you kidding me? Did they not produce a product? Then they want you to say that it's the symptoms, what they call it? Side effects of it. Don't say they got autism. Just say it's side effects. What? More lies? You can't trust these guys. You know, I'm guilty of just being blindly trusting the medical people in the medical field, thinking that they had your best interests at hand. But you know what? When it comes to money and greed. And I guess fear for some people because they don't want to speak out because they don't want to lose their jobs or anything like that. So they'd rather continue to go on with this whole lie. And I think the more people know, the better off they're going to be, even when dealing with medical professionals. Because I think every parent should be asking, why are you giving my kid a shot? Kid can't even, the body's not even capable of, you know, building on antibodies like that, you know, to do anything until 3 months, some say 6 months. So I think that's an excellent question. I should have had a doctor on, you know, to see what he'd say. But like I'm saying, it seems like that even the scientific community, like I was saying, at odds. One person saying this is all right, other one person said no, this is harmful. Like, how you get two people from using the scientific method, right? They know what the elements are. I know mercury is aluminum or neurotoxins. Come on now. It's not rocket science. How you get anybody to examine that and say that it's okay? It's not harmful. That don't make sense. You know, it seems like for some of the things that they said, well, polio, I think it was a disease that hurt people. But some of the vaccine, it's not even the vaccine that they're talking about. They're talking about the things they put into the vaccine. Come on, some of this stuff could be eradicated. Don't put it in there. You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm making you I'm making a soup and I'm gonna put beans in there. But I know beans. Some people are allergic to beans, right? So I got a soup here. It got beans in it. So the family come over and eat beans. The one is allergic to the beans. Don't know the beans is in there. They eat it. Bam. They come up with whatever that happens to them when they eat beans. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. You got to be considerate of people. You know what I mean? If you know something is harmful, don't put it in there. Because that's just like, well, we plan to kill 5% or harm 5% of the people that use this. You planning to do it because you know that a certain amount of the people, 1%, 5% doesn't matter. It's going to be harmed by that. That shouldn't be anything that's mandatory. You can't mandatory somebody or command somebody to take something that might be harmful to them. That's crazy. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, hold up. If it's harmful, hey, no, don't make it a mandatory thing. You can't guarantee somebody's safety, right? And I was just saying, relating it to what's happening right now, we got a powder keg right here. People gonna start hurting people, over these lies that people and deception that people are telling. You understand what I'm saying? Yep. You know, because they don't have no outlet. The legal system is not there. The political system is not favoring them. It's favoring big business, right? In this case, big pharma, right? In the medical industry, it's not favoring the people. If Bill Gates is standing to make money off of over 7 billion people being vaccinated, it's favoring him, you know what I'm saying? Or anybody who has that, that's a part of an interest group that, you know, in favor of, you know, these vaccinations being, you know, given to about as many of 7 billion or so people, that's a problem. I don't know. It seems like we got the fox, the wolf, minding the chicken coop. And I say it's the people's fault. Now, you can get out there and riot all you want, but, you know, you need to be knowledgeable about what's happening and demand that the people that are supposed to be represented, that you, the people you put in office to represent you are people that are there to represent you. If not, get them out. And you need to get them out quickly. So they can see this ain't no joke. If you're scared of the big people up there, you don't need to go up there. Right?
Right.
Because we need protection from these people, from these wealthy people and businesses, corporations who seek to exploit us by any means necessary. You know, because they got all these different policies, you know, health facilities across the country. Requiring health workers to be vaccinated for certain diseases, right, in an effort to reduce outbreaks, right? But in the same respect, like, can they guarantee these people that they won't catch that disease or won't be harmed by that vaccination? So I can understand why some people say they won't take that vaccine. You know, and like I'm saying, they even have a larger conspiracy than that. You know, the one that the people talking about, the nanotechnology, some 5G connected to 5G. I don't know, that's a little too much for me. That's over my pay grade. But if it's anything, any of that is true, we are in serious trouble. Genetic engineering, even though I just read where somebody said it doesn't, it's not going to cause you to be a genetic engineer if they use DNA with the vaccine. So I don't know. But so far it seems like the state has the power to do that. And one legal expert said that you gotta look at the laws of that state to see if that state laws, if it's written in that state. Well, all those laws, if the government is supposed to be the people's law, you can write your own. Get what you want written in the law. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So why aren't the people able to do that? So that's a problem anyway. Then he had this thing about the herd immunization. Let's say if 95% of people get immunized and vaccine, then it's going to cut the virus down. Well, the virus might not work for everybody. Everybody might not be immune, but I guess that would be, you know, 85 or 95%, you know, whatever, say, roughly. So if they do catch it, it's not going to spread because everybody else is immune. Maybe the next guy that don't have the virus, that's not vaccinated, not even near you. So it doesn't matter. I don't know. So that's where that thing is going. I don't know. It just seems like, to me, we could never trust politicians, big business, and anybody that have a lot of money make money off of vaccines. It seems like this has happened before with the polio virus. Why would you put a live virus out and one that was weakened? Like, why would you put both of those out for? What the hell you got the weakened one out there for? Didn't you do your trial test when you put the weakened one out there? Don't you know that works? Or you know the live virus is putting people at risk of catching the virus for sure. You know what I'm saying? Why would they be able to do that? And, you know, That's all I'm saying. So, you know, some states are taking parents' right away to legally refuse vaccinations for non-medical reasons. Just that conversation says you are not a part of government. You understand what I'm saying? What do you mean, parent? And parents supposed to, like the people supposed to have an impact on government, but we don't. If you don't have any money, they don't want to talk to you. If they do talk to you, don't have any money, they're listening, going about their business, the real business they're going to take care of, the one that generates money. You don't generate no cash flow. Seems like you don't get listened to. Your life ain't worth a damn. That's the message I'm getting. You know, so this coronavirus thing's coming up, and they're supposed to be using this RNA or DNA type kind of thing. That's the new thing. And, you know, the conspiracy theorists, you know, they said they're not against, like Dr. Bittar said, it's not against, and I don't mean to be calling him a conspiracy theorist. This is just, I'm just using that so that you know the people who think that there's something going on, even with the corona, beyond the coronavirus. And they said that Dr. Bittar said he's not against vaccines. And his other guy, his other doctor, they say he's against stupidity and the perception that vaccines have not been proven to be safe in the appropriate scientific manner. Vaccines that contain harmful, powerful immunogens or adjuvants, a substance that enhances the body's immune response to an antigen. So that's a dictionary definition of that. That's not a good reason for harming people. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, this is not, you know, this is going to. But then again, we live in a, when I look at the big picture, we live in a world that harms people for profit. You know what I'm saying? We got the emissions, the carbon monoxide, emissions, right, from the car, the automobile industry, and industrial industries. You got a cell of alcohol, which is a straight poison. That's what they call it. You get intoxicated when you drink alcohol, you know, things like that. So we live in a world, a society that advocates death, perpetuates death for profit. So then again, this vaccine thing is just right in, fits right in with what happens here. Anyway, there's more, but I'm going to have to begin to close because we have like 1 minute, 60 seconds left. I just want to thank everybody for listening and calling in tonight. Sorry if I'm on the subbox a little bit. I want to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I want to thank Mr. Kenneth Jones. I'll call him. Until next week, y'all. Peace out.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy.